Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So Lori has a 15-year-old daughter that is thinking about going into medicine. I know, run. No. And so she wants me to talk about how my challenges in terms of getting through medicine as a woman. And I don't know if it was the woman part as much as it was the academic. I mean, going to medical school was pretty tough. But, yeah, I'll tell you guys really quickly. We have a lot of new listeners, and some people don't realize that I am a physician and that I passed. I actually did. I had some pretty good grades. I passed all my boards first time. I'm blown away because I always kind of joke about being in the top 99% of my class. But I think I was a little higher up than that. So basically, my path to becoming a doctor, and I'll be short and brief, started when I was really younger. Some of you have heard the story. I was watching, I don't know if it was Marcus Welby or something, but, you know, in the 70s, I was a little kid playing with my Light Bright or toys or whatever, and there was a show on, and there was a doctor with a nurse. Nurse was blonde. The doctor was an older man, probably in his 50s or 60s, and to me as a young girl, I thought that was kind of older. And I took a look, and I pointed to the TV, and I told my mom and dad that I want to be like that person. And I pointed to the nurse. And my mom goes, why? And I go, well, you know, because I want to, you know, help people, and I want to be a nurse, right? And my mom's like, well, why don't you want to be a doctor? I'm like, well, because boys are doctors, girls are nurses. And that's just the way it was kind of portrayed back then. And so, you know, my mom goes, you know, girls could be doctor too. I mean, this was 75, maybe? 74, 75. And I took a look at the TV, took a look at the doctor, took a look at the nurse. I was like, nah, because I want to be blonde. Because I want to be, remember, look, I was only 3-4 years old. All right, cut me some slack. Like, I want to be the pretty nurse. And, you know, mind you, as a 3-year-old, that's okay. So, obviously, my, you know, mom would probably hope that I, you know, with all the years of, you know, turmoil that she and my four mothers and you know, brethren have gone through and sisterin to, you know, get to where we are today, I still opted to be, you know, a pretty blonde, you know, as opposed to, you know, telling my mom, fine, I will try to, you know, shatter some stereotypes and ceilings and try to become a physician. But it turned out that, because I've been asked, why didn't I become a nurse? Why did I become a doctor? Because I really was in love with the nursing profession. I thought the nurses were fantastic. I remember watching MASH, you know, and, you know, Hot Lips. It's a shame, you know, with these television shows, you have the same stereotypes of, you know, people being, you know, beautified, or, you know, their looks being, you know, idolized. But I tell you what, and I haven't really talked about this. This is something you guys don't know. When I was younger, I never thought I was pretty. And I don't think I was. I wasn't really the best looking kid. I was, you know, I love playing with the boys and all that. And I learned early on that I'm not Barbie. I just learned early on that I'm not going to look like that. I'm not going to look like Cher, you know, or Donnie and Marie. I'm not going to look like Marie. And I remember we're talking, this was like in the 70s, because I was really, really little at the time. And then in the 80s, I'm not going to look like Cheryl Teagues. I'm not going to look like Christie Brinkley. I'm not going to look like Bo Derek. I'm not going to look like, who was the one in that Lagoon movie, Brooke Shields? I'm not going to look like them. I'm not. And when I was younger, I was thinking, well, wait a second here. You know, girls can be doctors. You know, nurses kind of have to be pretty and have this look. When I was really younger, I thought, maybe then that's maybe I do need to go for a doctor. I didn't know much about the money. I didn't know about much about the autonomy and being able to own a business and, you know, being able to be the one that delivered babies and all that. I just thought that I wouldn't get hired as a nurse because it wasn't pretty enough. And I remember my mom and dad saying, look, you know, you're smart. You don't have to look good. You're going to succeed on your looks. And I had an aunt who was a model. My aunt was a successful model. And I'm like, but I want to be like my aunt. I want to be pretty. I wanted to become successful based on being what TV and movies made it look like. You had to be attractive. You had to. And my parents early on said, look, you know, use your mind. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to use your mind because you're not going to have the looks. And so I always liked, you know, fixing people's boo-boos. I love the smell of Band-Aids. And I always wanted to be a hero. I always wanted to come in and I wanted to be like Wonder Woman, right? You know, but I knew there was no way I was going to fit into the outfit. And so I'm like, all right, you know. And so then I just got into my head that I would never be able to become a nurse. So I'm going to become a doctor. And then it just, you know, oh, so, you know, when you're a physician, you can deliver the babies. You can do the surgery. Some nurses get to do surgery. Some nurses get to deliver babies, but you have a higher chance of doing that. And then I was like, oh, but I could be an ER doc and I could be this. And it just flowed. So as I go through medical school, you know, when I interviewed, there was more boys in my class than girls, but I was very fortunate enough to have good grades. I had good board scores. I had research. I had volunteer work. I graduated cum laude, and I also worked 3 part-time jobs. You know, people ask Dahlia, be honest, do you think you got into medical school because you were a girl? I don't know, because I remember during my interview they were blown away that I worked multiple part-time jobs and I worked throughout college. And then I even worked throughout medical school. And so I think I credit my work at the EPA, at Jack in the Box, being a tutor, and working a lot of side jobs. Then, yeah, was I harassed? You know, during my training, was I harassed by others? Did my butt get grabbed? Yeah, it did. It did. But, you know, my mom and sisters had prepared me that kind of stuff was going to happen. But they also prepared that some people who I thought were going to be my mentors weren't. You know? And then even in media, as I got through media, it just seemed to me that, you know, many of my male mentors, you know, were so supportive of me more than others. And so, you know, that's why I am just so grateful to the women in my life, but also to the men in my life, because I wouldn't be here today without, you know, so many of them. But yeah, so I would definitely urge anybody wanting to go to medicine, no matter how you identify, to go. I think we need people of all genders to, you know, be in medicine. But it was just kind of an interesting story. I don't think I ever told you guys the whole story. 1-877-DR-DAHLIA. Don't go away.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to AvidBiotech Stock Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So when somebody has heart disease, right, we think of the typical symptoms that we would see in the 70s and 80s in the movies where somebody would get chest pain and then it would go down the left arm and they're like, oh, my arm hurts, and then they would fall over. And with International Women's Day, you know, we're talking about some of the health differences that we might see in women or some of the presentations. And one very notorious difference is when it comes to heart disease and how heart disease looks different in women. There's been studies looking at how the clogging of the arteries differs in men versus women. You know, which is why when, you know, we get asked in medicine, how are we approaching, you know, those who identify as women or those who identify as men? We, you know, without, you know, insulting anybody or, you know, being politically incorrect, we do document in the chart if somebody was, we're not supposed to say biological male or female. That's also going, but we're not using that term anymore, but we document in the chart if somebody has ovaries or if somebody has the XX chromosomes or XY, or if they were born with you know, female genitalia, let's say, or male genitalia, or, you know, or we'll just designate if somebody is a transgender male, somebody who is identifying as male and undergoing the changes, or transgender female. But when it comes to the heart, when it comes to the ovaries, when it comes to testicles, when it comes to you know, bodily functions, it's still very, very crucial for those of us in the medical community to, you know, make sure we see what, we know what the biological basis is, even if we're not going to give it a name of a gender. So like I said earlier when we opened the show last hour, it's rapidly evolving, and, you know, I hope I don't make any mistakes. I think a lot of people in medicine don't want to say the wrong thing or, you know, make any mistakes, but, and again, I'll try to give you guys the memo so you don't also make any errors in terms of what you say that could be construed as inappropriate. But as a physician, I still have to, you know, realize that I have a job to do in terms of making sure we don't treat everybody the exact same, as we're all different and we're physiologically different. And I could be mistreating you, making you take a medication that hasn't been tested on you or hasn't been shown to do well in your you know, physiological state. So, heart disease. Let's look at heart disease. All right. So, women don't realize that the number one cause of death in a woman is heart disease. It's number one in men. It's also number one in women. CDC has numbers from 2017. It killed almost 300,000 women in 2017. So, one in every five female deaths is heart disease. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for African-American and white women in the United States. Among American Indian and Native Alaskan women, heart disease and cancer cause roughly the same amount of deaths each year. For Hispanic and Asian Pacific Islander women, heart disease is second only to cancer as a cause of death. One in 16 women aged 20 or older have coronary heart disease. So your 25-year-old sister or daughter can already have heart disease. One in 16 white women, black women, and Hispanic women, one in 30 Asian women will have elements of heart disease. So, do women have chest pain? They could. Can women have the left arm pain? They could. But some women have absolutely no symptoms at all when they have heart disease. Men too. My father didn't have the typical chest pain. I don't think he did. He didn't tell us. We didn't know he had heart disease until he died of a heart attack. I mean, I assumed he had something going on with his heart. I told him to see his doctor, but he was stubborn. He didn't want to do it. But if you have a dull or heavy or sharp chest pain or discomfort or feel like somebody's sitting on your chest, that could be heart disease. If your left arm hurts, but sometimes I've seen some people whose right arm hurt. I've seen people whose neck began to hurt, whose jaw hurt. I diagnosed a heart attack in somebody that came in with tooth pain. They had a left premolar ache, and I couldn't find anything wrong with their tooth. I decided to check their heart. It turned out they were having a heart attack. They could have pain in the upper abdomen or back. Women might have nausea, vomiting, fatigue. Men also. Dizziness. Shortness of breath. Sometimes they sweat. Sometimes, you know, women are like, oh, I have a hot flash. And I'm like, you're sweating. This could be the heart. Remember I told you I had a patient that came into the ER? She thought that she had a bladder infection. So I was an ER doc in Arizona for about a year, year and a half before I got my license in Nevada, because I was actually in training. So I would moonlight down in Arizona. You could get your license after 1 year of training as opposed to Nevada after 3 years of training. So I was an ER doc. I was sharing the ER with another doctor, and I was supposed to take kind of the easier cases, but I ended up taking, you know, I mean, not any case is considered easy. Somebody coming in with a bladder infection, this ended up being obviously a heart condition. And what had happened was she was nauseous. Now, an older woman with nausea makes you start to think, you know what, I better check her heart. But she was so nauseous, and in fact, we were so busy that day, and she had had a UTI. We had checked her urine. She goes, yep, I think I have a bladder infection. She had the symptoms. We checked her urine. She was looking all fine. But then she goes, you know, I'm kind of nauseous. Can you give me something? So she's sitting there, and as in the discharge area, you know, saying, well, if you don't mind, I'd like something for nausea. Thank God she did. So I had her still in the ER, but I had her up in a chair up against the wall because all the rooms were taken. It was a real, real hectic day in the ER. And she said, make it strong. Make it strong. So rather than giving her 5 milligrams of composite, I gave her 10 milligrams. And she was only about 110 pounds. And maybe that was a little too much. Maybe not. Maybe it was perfect. But I'm like, she really wants something for nausea. So I'm like, I'll give it to her and I'll watch her. Whenever you give an injection, we like to watch for about 15, 20 minutes. Well, then she started having shortness of breath. So we're like, wait a second, something's not right here. UTI, schmutii, there's something else going on. So we checked her heart, and it looked like she had a heart attack, because we checked her blood also, a heart attack that happened 8 hours prior, because her blood levels were already risen. So what had happened is she had a heart attack in her sleep, or the night before, and then she, unfortunately, I'm sorry. For some reason, I don't know why they were that number. Okay, so she had had a heart attack in her sleep, and then the symptoms that she had had, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure where that ringing is coming from. It's not my phone. I apologize. I'm not sure where that's coming from. But anyway, so she apparently felt ill, so she thought it was a UTI. She came in. She had some bacteria in her urine. But it ended up that she was probably feeling bad because she had a heart attack the night before. No chest pain, no arm pain, no neck pain, no tooth pain. She thought she had a UTI. So when we approach women, when we look at heart disease, we, you know, and it's funny because, you know, women don't want to be treated different. That part of what's been the back and forth with all of this, you know, and it's International Women's Day, so we're bringing it up, is because, you know, on one end, we don't want to have to highlight, you know, yeah, we're different than men. Yeah, we need things done differently. Yeah, we need to have, you know, We need, you know, sports to be different. We need to be able to compete in our own realm. I mean, you know, on one end, you know, sometimes you could actually be defeating some of the progress you're trying to make. But as a doctor, you know, we try to be politically neutral when it comes to, look, a woman's going to present differently. A woman is not going to always look like a male when they have a heart attack. And it's okay. That's not being politically incorrect. It's not. Women have a higher estrogen. Women have different muscle mass. Like I said, they may clog their arteries differently. And women do have heart disease. I have a cousin who was in her 40s, dropped dead of a heart attack. We have heart disease in our family. Male, female, and I tell you, the doctors, the political correctness aside, they're like, I don't care how, you know, you present. You're a woman. You might not give us the same symptoms that a man would. We're going to already do a stress test. We're going to be watching you just as closely. So what are the risk factors for heart disease? As we've discussed, for anybody, men, women, diabetes, eat an unhealthy diet, physical inactivity, high alcohol, smoking, history of heart attack, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, stress. A lot of us have stress. We all do. You know, being menopausal. Having sometimes the estrogen is protective, sometimes it's not. So, you know, your doctor's going to make sure to outweigh, you know, benefits versus risks. All right, guys. Thank you. We are in a new studio, so we're definitely kind of working out some kinks. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOCTOR-ELLIE.
A Attention radio listeners. If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Jury selection in Minneapolis is being postponed in the case against former police officer Derek Chauvin.
We have jurors, but I think realistically we're not going to get to any jury selection. We won't have an answer until at least tomorrow. So unless any of the parties object, I'm going to kick our jurors loose and start everything tomorrow with jury selection.
Judge Peter Cahill decided to put off the start of jury selection until at least tomorrow, while the question of whether to allow a third-degree murder charge against Chauvin is pending. People who are fully vaccinated against coronavirus can safely gather without masks or physical distancing. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said in new guidelines that relaxed safety measures for inoculated individuals. And you're listening to USA Radio News. Senate and House Republicans are asking Democrat Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi to brief members of Congress on why National Guard troops may remain in Washington, D.C. until the fall. Republican Congressman from Florida Michael Waltz saying,
"But this just is not a role, a permanent role for the National Guard."
And Senator Marsha Blackburn adding on Fox News,
"The Guard troops deserve to be home with their families and not on duty here in Washington."
Although only 9% of the Democrats' COVID relief bill that they passed will go towards COVID relief, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says President Biden's coronavirus relief bill will help Americans get to the other side of the pandemic.
"This is a tremendously important package that will bring millions, hundreds of millions of Americans the relief they need."
USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
On the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. 1-877-DOCDALI. Maya wants me to talk about Meghan Markle and her struggle with suicide. I was going to bring up suicide also, because as we're talking with, it's International Women's Day, and as we're talking about some of the differences between men and women, how they present clinically, a big startling difference when we look at suicide attempts and suicide is men, sadly, commit more suicide rates, more suicides than females, but females may have more attempts. And it's a statistic that has kind of pervaded ever since I was in my training. So it's still, I think, parallels since 30 years ago. And, you know, suicide is still a leading cause of death in the United States, not as high as heart disease or cancer. But apparently back in 2018, the CDC reported based on data from 2018 that suicide was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming the lives of over 48,000 people. Suicide was the second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 10 and 34, fourth leading cause of death among individuals between the ages 35 and 54. There were more than 2.5 times as many suicides in the U.S. as there were homicides. And that was in 2018. I could just imagine the number going up. We know kids have had startling high levels of, suicide and struggles going on with, the pandemic, being isolated, you know, being on iPhones and apps and pads all day, and then being unfortunately hit and bombarded with the, you know, some of the negativity and even ways to teach kids how to do it. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting how the suicide rate among males is 3.7 times higher than females. And I've been asked, why is that? Why are males more inclined for suicide rates? And again, as a physician, you want to be very careful because you don't want to stereotype. You don't want to say anything that's politically incorrect. But what I was taught 20-some years ago was men might be higher risk takers. Women might be more nesters, nurturers. Men might be more higher risk takers. You're not going to hear people say that because now that might be deemed politically incorrect. But I wonder if those behaviors are still being documented, where we'll see men take higher risks. Men might be more inclined to bungee jump than a female. You know, I mean, me, I had no problem, you know, skiing a black diamond when I wasn't technically trained to do so. And so I've taken risks. But I got to tell you, once I became a mom, man, I took less risks. I will not ski any black diamonds. Not until, well, now that my kids are older, I might. But it just, taking less risks. And, you know, maybe it's the maternal instinct. I don't know. And again, you know, we got to be careful talk about that because we don't know if we're allowed to talk about that anymore. But, you know, suicide rate is still higher among men, 3.7 times higher. However, among females, they said the suicide rate was highest for those 45 to 64. Among males, the suicide rate was highest for those age 75 and older. Now, we've talked about suicide and why some people consider suicide. You know, some is they're depressed. They feel it's not going to get better. They can't see things get better. You know, what is something that I do see common but not talked about a lot is I've spoken to many men who don't want to fear death anymore, and they want to plan it out. There are some people that, look, when I leave this earth, I want it on my own terms. I don't want to be hit by a bus. I don't want to fall out of a building. I don't want to die in a fire. I don't want to drown. I want it on my own terms. And, you know, it's interesting. When my father died, you know, my brother was really freaked out about it. One of my brothers, you know, he said, look, I want to know when it happens. I want to be ready. And it scared him like that. Me, I'm like, look, when it happens, you know, but there is that thinking that some people have. Maybe these older men, you know, we see suicide higher in older men. Maybe they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to end it now. I don't want to have dementia. I don't want to be a burden on my family. I have all my ducks in a row. I am now leaving this earth. And so sometimes suicide isn't always about depression. So now one of my listeners wants me to talk about what happened with Meghan Markle. I'm not sure. I didn't watch apparently Meghan Markle was interviewed. She and Harry, Prince Harry, were interviewed by Oprah. And it was supposed to be a tell-all. And there was supposed to be all this kind of dirt and scoop being brought up about the royal family. I heard it was done as delicate as possible. But apparently there was just a lot of, bait. And I guess goodies for the media to jump on. But one of the things Megan brought up is that she felt suicidal. She felt that she said she had suicidal thoughts after marrying into the British royal family. And so obviously some people are concerned about that because you have somebody who was able to become a princess, become forever wealthy, famous, taken care of. Her kids are going to have the best doctors. She has a life that the average person could possibly dream of. And she had suicidal thoughts. It goes to show that suicide doesn't, people thinking about suicide and depression is just as ubiquitous among people that look like they have the most, phenomenal lives than not. People who become rock stars or people who become actors or actresses, they have different pressures. And I'm not saying you guys have to play a violin. Trust me. If you don't have food on the table, you have a diagnosis of cancer. You have, I understand why you have depression. I think those are justified, but before we judge, rock stars and celebrities and all that, my guess is they might not be as not putting as much, let's say, attention onto their mental health. When somebody becomes depressed, it's not always about the food in their stomach. It's not always about their wealth. It's about them being in a situation that they don't feel is right for them, that they're them living a life they don't want to live. And I know we all are looking at this as going, really? I mean, you have everything at your fingertips, but if she was living a life she really didn't want to live, being there, it doesn't surprise me that thoughts of suicide would come. I can't tell you how many actors or how many celebrities are so, they reach such fame, and then all of a sudden nobody knows who they are. They're broke. They can't afford security, yet there are still paparazzi out there, and they have to get a job, making minimum wage, and then they, and it's such a fall for them that they get crushed, and, many turn to drugs, and, we can't really go into the minds of somebody. Having seen The Crown, I could understand somebody depressed like Charles not being able to marry Camilla, and he had to marry Diana, and I understand how that could be depressing to have to be married to somebody you don't want to be married to, but, Meghan got to be married to Harry. We don't know. What it does mean is when people think of suicide, it might not be on your timeline or with your mental prerequisites. You're thinking, gosh, if I knew I was going to have a debilitating cancer, if I thought I was going to be a burden on my family, still in my religion, we're not allowed to do that, so I wouldn't ever contemplate suicide. But I understand how some people are like, look, this is my life. I'm going to be in horrible pain. My family's going to be, possibly going broke trying to prepare for me. That's why some people consider it, and they shouldn't. But they do. And then you have others where they're in a royal family and they don't like it. But there might be other things that they're not revealing. Unfortunately, I can't really comment because I it's not for us to go into their head and try to figure out what made them so, upset and depressed. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
We are back on
Live Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we know COVID can cause a whole variety of side effects. It can cause chest pain, can cause shortness of breath, can cause headache, fatigue, runny nose, can cause body aches, myalgias, you could feel like you have the flu. Long term, it could cause brain fog. It could cause lack of smell, sense of smell and taste. It could cause kidney issues, heart issues, lung issues. And so, you know, we generally have, you know, kind of avoided talking a lot about the sex organs when it comes to COVID. We have spoken about how COVID could make the testicles tender. Some people have been having testicle pain. We've also noticed that COVID might affect fertility, might affect the sperm. What we didn't really talk about much, because there's only been a couple case studies, is how COVID could affect erections. And so there's been at least two that I know of. I need to kind of do a literature search on how two gentlemen who had severe COVID ended up having prolonged erections, one 4 hours, another 3 hours, until they were able to get treatment. And a prolonged erection lasting longer than 4 hours we call priapism. There's a couple different types of priapism. We got the ischemic and the non-ischemic. Ischemic is where you get blood flow in the penis that doesn't go back out, kind of gets stuck. And then we got to kind of open things up a little bit to let it get out. And then you have the non-ischemic, where you just have too much blood in the penis that's not leaving either. But there's some nuances between the two. And it's very unfortunate, it's very painful, and it's serious. You know, people always make jokes about Viagra, because Viagra says if you have an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, you need to get yourself to a medical provider. And people go, why would I do that? I spent a lot of money on the Viagra. You know, and you're like, no, you don't understand. This is significant. It could unfortunately cause some long-lasting damage. We do not want you getting this. So why COVID? See, you know, people think that there was a lot of hype with COVID, and I'm really torn on how much we really needed to close down the economy, right? And, you know, close down businesses and not let people go to church. I'm still really kind of torn with all that. But the one thing that I've always agreed with, or shall we say I've supported, is people saying that we don't know what we're dealing with this virus. And I also can't say it's like the flu. I might say our approach to COVID should be similar to flu, because I've been very upset that people have been blowing off the flu. And I mean, you know, if you're gonna close down a school because of COVID, that doesn't seem to kill kids to the same degree as flu. You're not doing it with flu. So I've kind of used flu and COVID interchangeably, as, you know, COVID kills more kids. Why didn't you guys, why are we so afraid to open up the schools, you know, when nobody was afraid during flu season? I'd like to see a little more consistency, but I get it, because the adults, COVID affects adults very differently. And so the flu isn't, I believe, you know, causing priapism. I don't think the flu causes erections. I don't think the flu causes clots to that degree. Flu can cause a stroke. Flu can cause a heart attack. And flu's been around longer. But we're learning with COVID that that severe COVID causes inflammation and can also cause changes in endothelial linings that put people at risk for heart disease, stroke, clots. So these two cases, one was a gentleman in Ohio, a 69-year-old male. Another one, gosh, it was reported early on. I need to find out. He was, I think, 62 years old. Apparently, they had blood clots within their penis that caused the blood to stay. How erections work is there has to be some relaxation of muscles and allowing a shunting of blood to go in there. And then when the time is over and sex is done, the blood has to go back. And so how Viagra works and these erectile dysfunction medications work is it prevents this, it inhibits this feedback loop with nitrous oxide that allows the blood to stay there longer. blood clots can cause more of a type of priapism where the flow is then blocked. And so how do we treat it? Well, sometimes we have to treat it with ice packs rather than using heat to dilate more. If you have the non-ischemic priapism, we might actually use ice packs to cool things down. And what I had to do in the ER and what other people sometimes have to do is actually drain the blood. So they actually need to take a syringe and pull blood out of the penis to get it to get become flaccid. So it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But the fact that, you know, somebody with severe COVID could have clots, right, in the distal, I don't want to call it an extremity, but a distal body organ, just shows how dangerous this virus can be. This virus really knows how to tick off some people's bodies. For others, it doesn't do much except give them some sneezes. But for others, I mean, it's making heart disease, cytokine storm, respiratory failure. And in fact, the 69-year-old male from Dayton, Ohio, that ended up having one of the priapisms, he actually died. His COVID was so severe that he actually died. I think it was in the ICU for about 10 days. What had happened is he was on a ventilator. The nurses had flipped him onto his stomach because, remember we talked about how it increased the aeration within the lungs? So he was flipped onto the stomach. And then when they flipped him back, that's when they saw he had an erection and they treated it. So they assumed it was for at least 4 hours. They treated it for some reason. I think they were successful in that. But study authors like, look, guys, you know, and then we have another case that I'm writing about that happened with a younger gentleman that ended up, let me see, hold on a second. This was, that was the one in August. This other one I think happened in January or February. So, you know, what is the moral to this? Well, one is if you have an erection that doesn't go away, okay, you need to get it looked at right away, okay? You don't joke about it. You don't Instagram it. You don't take pictures. You don't make a TikTok, okay? It's some serious stuff. And it is scary, and it's painful. Number two is you got to be careful with some medications. Some medications can induce it. We'll talk about this more in detail, but there's some medications that will put people at higher risk. So if you're going to start getting Viagra online or out of the country, you want to double check with your doctor. You also want to make sure you're not taking Viagra if you take nitrates. Nitrates that we use to relax blood vessels could unfortunately cause severe blood pressure drops if you're taking it with Viagra. So we want to make sure that you're not mixing your medications up. And then, you know, with COVID, and we've talked about this, I'm also picking up on people getting their shingles. I'm seeing, you know, people come in going, gosh, this is the worst case of shingles I've ever seen. And it just happened overnight. And I'm like, you better get yourself tested for COVID. I'm seeing COVID reactivate things that probably wouldn't have been reactivated. True, it's a stressful time, you know, but like I'm seeing cold sores. I had one woman call in with a real vicious case of cold sores. She goes, I get cold sores, but never, all, you know, like 10 all at once. I'm like, you might want to get yourself also tested for COVID. So we treat them with an antiviral and, you know, go from there. So this virus, I am hoping that we beat. I'm hoping it goes away and dies. I'm hoping our vaccines help us with herd immunity. Looks like the vaccines have been doing pretty good. I'm 1 week after my second shot, and knock on wood, I feel great. I feel strong. Am I running around without a mask? No. I mean, I might go to dinner with some friends, but I'm not, you know, I'm still not ready to, you know, go to, you know, concerts and things like that, although I really would like to go to a football game. So, you know, if you can get the vaccine, I still urge it. I understand many people are freaked out about side effects. I get that. There's side effects to everything. I'm not going to say something's 100% safe. I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say that COVID kind of scares me. And there are some people that there is just no rhyme or reason. When I hear that a healthy doctor gets a blood clot and is forever, you know, disabled, when all he did was get the COVID virus, it just shows there's not a lot of rhyme or reason as to what this virus does. And, you know, if you think you're going to be unlucky, protect yourself. 1-877-DOC-TALK.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.